This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to discuss a conflict of interest with a colleague or direct report. A plain speaking process for one of the hardest conversations at work. In short, a conflict of interest conversation is one of the most uncomfortable discussions you will have at work. Get it wrong, and you damage trust, create lasting resentment, or expose your organization to real risk. Get it right, and you protect the relationship, demonstrate professional courage, and set a standard others will respect. Prepare what you want to say before you sit down. Improvising this one is a costly mistake. Lead with your concern, not your conclusion, so the other person does not immediately become defensive. End with a clear, agreed next step, not just an uncomfortable silence. Definition: a conflict of interest occurs when a personal interest, relationship, or financial stake could compromise, or reasonably appear to compromise, a person's professional judgment or impartiality. It does not require actual wrongdoing. The credible appearance of bias is enough to erode trust and require disclosure. There is a particular kind of dread that comes before this conversation. I know it well. Years ago, I was the manager who spotted a direct report steering a contract toward a supplier her brother owned. I said nothing for 3 weeks. I told myself I was gathering more information. The truth is, I was afraid. By the time I finally sat down with her, the contract had been signed, the damage was done, and the repair took 6 months. The conversation I delayed for 3 weeks cost me a year of trust. Raising a conflict of interest is one of the most genuinely difficult conversations in professional life. It touches on ethics, loyalty, power, and personal reputation all at once. Most people either avoid it until the situation becomes a crisis, or they go in too hard and turn a manageable problem into a confrontation. This guide gives you a clear process for doing neither. By the end, you will know how to prepare, what to say, how to handle the response, and how to reach a resolution that actually holds. Why this particular difficult conversation requires its own approach. Most difficult conversations follow a recognizable pattern. One person has a concern, they raise it, the other person responds, and you work toward agreement. A conflict of interest discussion has an added layer that makes it harder than most. The person you're speaking with may not believe they have done anything wrong. In many cases, they have not. A conflict of interest can exist entirely through perception, with no ill intent on anyone's part. That means you're not just addressing behavior, you're asking someone to acknowledge how their situation looks to others, which cuts close to their sense of integrity. There's also the power dimension. If this is a direct report, you carry authority in the conversation, and that authority can easily tip a disclosure into something that feels like an accusation or a disciplinary action. If it is a peer or a colleague, you have no formal standing at all, which creates a different kind of difficulty. The approach in this guide accounts for both scenarios. It is designed to protect the relationship while still delivering the substance clearly and directly. What needs to be true before you begin? Before you say a word to the person involved, you need three things in place. First, you need clarity about the actual concern. Is this a confirmed conflict of interest or a perceived one? Both are legitimate, but you need to know which you are dealing with. Perceived conflicts, when no actual bias has occurred, but the appearance of one exists, require a different framing than situations where a decision has already been influenced. Second, you need to know what you want from the conversation. Are you asking the person to disclose the situation to a wider group, to recuse themselves from a decision, to formally document the relationship? Going without a clear desired outcome, and you're likely to end at an uncomfortable impasse. Third, check your own emotional state. If you're angry, or if the situation has already created tension between you, give yourself a day. This conversation requires steady ground to stand on. You cannot deliver it well if you are still processing your own reaction. How to discuss a conflict of interest. A step-by-step process. Step 1. Request a private meeting with a clear but neutral signal. Do not ambush the person in a corridor, on a call with others present, or via a message that hints at the content. You want them to arrive at the conversation without having spent 2 hours constructing a defensive position. Ask for a private meeting and give a neutral reason. Something like, I need about 20 minutes with you to talk through something related to the Henderson project. Can we find a time today or tomorrow? That is honest without being alarming. Do not say, it is nothing serious, if it is. You will lose credibility the moment you open the real subject. Step 2. Open with intention before you state the concern. The first 30 seconds will define the temperature of the entire conversation. Use them to signal that you are approaching this in good faith, not as an adversary, a direct and respectful opener. I want to talk with you about something that I think we need to address together. I'm raising it because I think it matters professionally, and because I respect you enough to bring it to you directly rather than going around you. That one sentence does several things. It frames the conversation as collaborative. It signals respect. And it establishes that you're the person who came forward, not the person who talked behind their back. Step 3. State the specific concern factually and without interpretation. This is the step most people get wrong. They either soften the concern into vagueness, so the other person leaves without fully understanding the issue, or they overstate it into an accusation. Name the observable facts. I noticed that the bid for Meridian Solutions was the one you recommended, and I have since learned that your partner works there in a senior role. I'm not saying anything improper happened. I'm saying that the situation looks, from the outside, like a conflict of interest, and I think that needs to be addressed. Do not add phrases like "I'm sure you meant well" or "I know you would never do anything wrong." Those qualifications feel reassuring, but they actually introduce doubt. State the facts, name the concern, and stop talking. Step 4. Give them space to respond fully. After you name the concern, be quiet. This is harder than it sounds. The silence will feel uncomfortable, and your instinct will be to fill it. Do not. The other person needs time to process what has been said. Let them speak without interruption. You're looking for information here. Did they already know this was a concern? Have they taken any steps to address it? Is there context you did not have? Listen without preparing your counter. If what they say genuinely changes your understanding of the situation, say so. That context is helpful. It does not completely resolve the concern, but I understand it differently now. That is not a concession. That is accurate. If they become defensive or dismissive, do not match that energy. A calm, steady presence is your most powerful tool here. You can reference how to de-escalate arguments during meetings if the conversation begins to heat beyond reason. Step 5. Name the professional obligation clearly. Once both sides have spoken, bring the conversation to the practical obligation that needs to be met. Regardless of intent, a situation that carries the appearance of a conflict of interest needs to be disclosed, and in some cases, the person in that position needs to step back from the relevant decision. That is not a judgment about you. It is a professional standard that protects you as much as it protects the organization. Frame it as a standard, not a penalty. Most people, once they understand that disclosure protects them, become far more willing to engage with the process. Step 6. Agree on a concrete next step before you leave the room. A conflict of interest conversation that ends with "let us think about this" has not ended. It has paused, and it will be harder to restart. Before you close, what I would like us to agree on today is X. That X should be specific. Possible examples: the person will disclose the relationship in writing to HR by a named date. They will remove themselves from the evaluation panel. The two of you will jointly brief your manager on the situation. The exact action depends on the specifics, but there must be one. Write it down. Send a brief follow-up note after the meeting that summarizes what was agreed. This is not about creating a paper trail for discipline. It is about holding the resolution in place. Step 7. Follow up at the agreed point without letting it drop. If the agreed action was due by Thursday and Thursday passes without word, reach back out that day. Not in a week, that day. A brief message works well. Just checking in on what we discussed. Do you need anything from me to move this forward? That gives a person a face-saving way to re-engage if they have stalled, without making it feel like surveillance. When the person you are speaking with is a direct report, the step sequence above applies in most situations, but when you're a manager addressing a direct report, the power imbalance creates a specific additional risk. The conversation can easily feel like a threat to their position, even when that is not your intention. Two adjustments matter here. The first is to name the power dynamic openly, early. I want to acknowledge that I'm your manager, and that makes this conversation feel different for you than it does for me. I am not raising this to put your role at risk. I'm raising it because I have an obligation to, and because I think you deserve to know about the concern directly from me. The second is to make the path forward as clear as possible before you close. A direct report who leaves the room uncertain about consequences will spend the next week in anxiety. That is not fair, and it is not useful. Tell them what happens next, who else will be involved, and what a good resolution looks like. For more on how to work through a difficult conversation that is fracturing team dynamics, the DEAL method for resolving team conflicts offers a structured approach that pairs well with this one. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. The three places where this conversation usually goes wrong. The mistake. Waiting for the situation to resolve itself. Why it happens. Raising a conflict of interest feels like an accusation, and nobody wants to be the person who made a colleague feel accused. What to do instead? Treat early disclosure as a form of respect. The longer you wait, the more damage accumulates, and the harder it becomes to frame the conversation as anything other than a confrontation. The mistake. Framing the issue as a verdict rather than a concern. Why it happens. People overprepare the factual case and forget to prepare the human opening. What to do instead? Lead with your intention and concern, not with your conclusion. I need to raise something that concerns me lands very differently than I need to talk to you about what you did. The mistake. Ending the conversation without a clear action. Why it happens. Both parties are relieved when the hard part is over and neither wants to prolong the discomfort. What to do instead? Treat the agreed action as the actual purpose of the meeting. The conversation is not finished until you both know what happens next. If you're dealing with a situation where the other person refuses to engage at all, the guidance on how to start a difficult conversation that is blocking your team's progress can help you find a fresh entry point. Before you walk in, a preparation checklist. Use this before every conflict of interest conversation. Go through it the evening before or the morning of the meeting. Number 1. Define the concern precisely. Write one sentence describing the specific conflict of interest. If you can't write it in one sentence, you are not ready. Number 2. Clarify the nature of the conflict. Is it confirmed, perceived, or somewhere between? Know which one you are dealing with. Number 3. Identify your desired outcome. What specific action do you want agreed by the end of the meeting? Number 4. Prepare your opening sentence. Write it out word for word. Practice it once or twice aloud. Number 5. Anticipate the likely response. If they become defensive, what will you say? If they deny it, what is your next step? If they become emotional, how will you respond? Number 6. Check your own emotional temperature. Are you calm enough to hold steady if the conversation gets difficult? If not, wait. Number 7. Decide who else needs to know. HR, a senior manager, a compliance officer. Knowing this before the meeting means you can name it during the conversation rather than improvising under pressure. Number 8. Prepare your follow-up. Draft a brief summary note to send after the meeting confirming what was agreed. Navigating conflict of interest conversations in remote or distributed teams. When your team works across locations, one additional risk arises: the temptation to handle this by email or message rather than in a live conversation. Do not do it. Written messages strip away tone, remove the human presence that allows for repair, and create a permanent record of the most awkward part of the exchange without capturing any of the resolution. A conflict of interest disclosure handled by email tends to escalate rather than resolve. Use a video call with the camera on. If the person is in a different time zone, that inconvenience is worth absorbing. The visual presence matters. You can observe how they are receiving what you say, and they can see that you are approaching this with care, not aggression. Keep the same structure as a face-to-face conversation: private, scheduled with a neutral signal, and focused on agreeing a next step before you close. The remote context changes the medium, not the process. You may also find it useful to revisit how unmet expectations can drive team tension, particularly when a conflict of interest has already caused visible friction in the team dynamic. Frequently asked questions. What is a conflict of interest in the workplace? A conflict of interest at work occurs when a personal interest, relationship, or financial stake could compromise, or appear to compromise, your professional judgment or impartiality. It does not require wrongdoing to be a problem. The perception of bias is enough to damage trust and working relationships. How do you raise a conflict of interest with a colleague? Raise it privately, calmly, and as early as possible. Describe what you have observed in specific, factual terms, explain what concerns you, and give the other person room to respond. Do not frame it as an accusation. Frame it as a concern you need to address together. How do you discuss a conflict of interest with a direct report? Start by separating your managerial role from any personal relationship. Be direct about what you have observed. Acknowledge the awkward power dynamic, and focus on the professional obligation to disclose rather than on blame. Give your direct report a clear path forward, not just a warning. What should you say first when raising a conflict of interest? Open with your intention, not your conclusion. A phrase such as, "I need to talk with you about something that concerns me professionally, and I want to do it respectfully," signals good faith before any difficult content arrives. It reduces defensiveness from the first sentence. What are the most common mistakes when discussing a conflict of interest? The most common mistakes are waiting too long to raise it, framing it as a personal attack, failing to prepare what you want to say, and not agreeing on a clear next step at the end. Each of these turns a manageable conversation into a lasting source of tension. Can a conflict of interest conversation damage a working relationship? It can, but a conversation handled well is far less damaging than a conflict of interest left unaddressed. Most working relationships survive these conversations when both people feel heard and when the process is handled with respect, clarity, and a genuine focus on resolution. These conversations are rarely comfortable. But here is the truth of it: the discomfort you feel before raising a conflict of interest is nothing compared to the damage of leaving it unspoken. A conflict of interest handled early, with care and with a clear process, is a problem solved. Left alone, it becomes a wound that the whole team eventually feels. You have the process now. The courage to use it has always been yours. If you want a structured method for the broader resolution work that sometimes follows, the value method for advocating with a manager who dismisses the problem, and the deal method for colleagues who refuse to cooperate are both worth reading alongside this one. And if this conversation surfaces tensions during a team meeting, the guidance on handling conflict during meetings will help you hold the room. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.